Ephesians chapter 3. In Ephesians, there's no personal greetings. As there in many of the other books, to this one, to that one, this one sends greeting, this one says hello, speak to the church in this house. And there's none of that in the book of Ephesians, making them think that it was written to many churches and was circulated. And the first church would get a scribe and they would write it out and send it to another church, keeping their copy but sending the copy to somebody else. And then it would circulate. Now, at the end of the three chapters of doctrine, we read this last week, verse 13, therefore, I desire that you faint not. Now, I desire that you faint not, that you don't get weak, you don't get weary, you don't give up. You know, it's really easy when you're in pain and when you're struggling with PET scans and ultrasounds and different things and trying to make a Holy Ghost decision, because that's where the decision lies, not with the doctor, but with your knowledge of God and what God says to you about what the doctor says. We're not against doctors, but we always put the Lord first, always first. And for this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. For this cause, what's the cause? Why is he praying? I don't think we've ever made an adequate connection there. He says, I'm praying that you don't faint, you don't be discouraged, you don't get weary because of I'm suffering. In those days, Christians were beheaded. They were fed to lions. They were boiled in oil. They were filleted like fish. And Paul had really suffered. If you read Paul's letters, he had been beaten with 39 stripes 5 times. He had been stoned and left for dead. He had been imprisoned. He was imprisoned when the book of Ephesians was written. He had been, it says, a night and a day in the deep after a shipwreck. And he didn't want them to be discouraged or to be afraid. You know what your first thought would be? I might be next. He had been lifted over the wall in a basket in order to escape. And he said, I don't want you to faint. Now, when you faint physically, you faint, you lose track of your surroundings. And what happens with Christians? We lose track of the Word of the living God, and all we can think about is our symptoms and what's said and what's done and what hurts and what they want me to do. And one fellow came to me, he wanted prayer, and he said, tell God, I have to have this. Do you understand that? I have to have this. I have to have it. You tell him that. Well, that's not faith at all. He's fainted. He's fainted. He's turned loose of the Word. We have to fight the good fight of faith. And the fight of faith is when I hold fast to what God is saying and I don't give up and I don't quit, no matter my surroundings, no matter how I feel about it. Now he said, for this cause I bow my knees to the Father. He says, this is why I'm praying for you. He's praying this prayer so that they won't faint. So these three things that he gives us here is going to work in any situation. It's going to work in healing, just as it would work against tribulation, against struggles that Paul had. He says, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. The first thing, he wants their spirit to be strong. He wants the Holy Spirit in their spirit to be active. He wants them to depend upon the Holy Spirit. He wants them to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the first thing he's praying. Now, we covered that last when we talked about building up yourself on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. That's one way to be strengthened in your inner man, is to pray in the Spirit. I pray in the Spirit during the night, during December, fell into a really hole of discouragement. And I got up in the middle of the night. I wasn't going to sleep anyway. I'm not praying for anybody. I'm not even praying for myself. I'm activating my spirit, letting my spirit hear the voice of God to what God would say. Now, one gentleman ended up in government circles quite to his surprise. And he said, God, I don't belong here. And God said to him, every time you pray in the spirit, you ask me to do this for you. So it's very important that you let God speak. And God strengthens you for the task ahead. And he said, I will grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his spirit in your spirit, in the inner man, which is your spirit. That's the first thing. He wants you to be strong in spirit. He wants the Spirit of God to make you strong. And one way is to pray in the Spirit. And then he said that you, Christ may dwell in your heart by faith. He wants your faith to be active. Now, faith comes from the Word of God. And for faith to be active, the word has to be read. You have to be a hearer and a doer of the word for faith to be active. And so he wants their heart to be filled with faith. He wants Christ to be honored. And he wants them to be strong in spirit. And then he said, you may comprehend the love of God. He wants then to be filled with the love, to walk in love. There's an awful lot said about love in the scripture, and we'll probably go over that next week, but faith works by love. So I can compromise my faith by being bitter, ugly, unkind. I can shut down my faith. It's not that I didn't believe. It's that I roadblocked my faith. Now, when we go back, we're going to do these three things so that we don't give up. When you faint, you give up, you quit, you're weary. Most translations say you're discouraged. You become so discouraged, you're just spinning your wheels. You know, like a hamster going round and round and round and round and round and not accomplishing anything. And he said, I don't want that to happen to you. And the first thing I want you to do is to activate your spirit by the Holy Spirit. Now, if you turn to John 14, Jesus said that the Holy Spirit had been with the disciples and they had been active in the Holy Spirit through the ministry of Jesus. He had sent them out with power and authority, Luke chapter 9. He sent them out with power and authority. And he said the Holy Spirit had been with you. That's how they knew the Holy Spirit, through the ministry of Jesus and for the way that he sent them out and honored their faith in the power. But the Holy Ghost was not in them and they were not born again. Now, once they were born again, he said, this is verse 17, he dwells with you and shall be in you. Now, he told them the Comforter would come, and he said another Comforter. That's verse 16. That word another means one exactly like the other. You know, you can have another one of something that's a little different than the first one you had. You lose the first one, you buy another one, it's a little different. It's another one, but it's not like. And he said, I'm going to send the Spirit that you're familiar with in the Comforter to live in you, and he's going to be exactly like me, exactly. Because they're Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. These three are one. They're in perfect unity. They're exactly alike, though they have maybe different job assignments and descriptions. Now he said in verse 17, he's going to be with you, shall be in you. And then he says, I will not leave you comfort. In other words, he's not going to leave us distressed. He's not going to leave us without the Holy Spirit, without the Word of God, without understanding of the Word to do the job, to live successfully ourselves and do the job that he's assigned us to do. He said, I would never do that to you. You know, we're kind of bad at that. Somebody will tell you something and you'll say, well, I hope it works out for you. You never even think of it again. You haven't done that right. But if you're going to be the Comforter, you're going to be the one to say, is there any way I can help you? I'll bring you dinner. Can I take you to lunch? Would you like to talk about this? There are some actions that you could take. You have to be not only a hearer, but a doer. And you have to not only hear the Word, but you have to do something with the Word. And that's in James chapter 1. Now, he's going to dwell in you. Now, he came to dwell in them. When they were in the upper room after the resurrection, they were hiding. It says they were hiding from the Jews, and it said the door was closed. That would indicate that Jesus just walked through the door. Or they wouldn't have to tell us the door was closed. We would assume the door was closed if you're hiding. You wouldn't be hiding with the door open. So he came and he said, receive the Holy Ghost. Now, that's not the Holy Ghost coming upon you. That's not the Holy Ghost from ministry. That's the Holy Ghost that comes to dwell in you, that you're born again. He comes to live in you, and he comes to help you to live before God. And he comes, first of all, to teach you. And that's in John 14, verse 26. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Paraclete, the Comforter, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, is the same person. Which the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things. You know, years ago, every time I came to this verse of scripture, see, he's in you to teach you. He's in you for your benefit. Now, Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and the Spirit is capitalized there as if it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit. But it isn't the fruit of the Holy Spirit. It's the fruit that you bear because of the influence of the Holy Spirit and because of the Word of God in your life. Now, if we have to depend and wait for the Holy Spirit to bear fruit, we're in trouble already. You can see. Some things we've believed weren't even logical. Now, Holy Ghost is in me so I can bear fruit, but to teach me. To give me understanding. Well, years ago, I'm new. I was raised denominationally. I don't know anything past John 3:16. But I'm a good listener. I'm listening. I'm trying to catch on. I'm years behind the Pentecostals. And this verse, da, 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 da. in Acts, they got together and prayed. They had been in prison, and when they got out of prison, it says they went to their own company. They went to their people, and they prayed. And they said, Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles, signs, and wonders, which God did by him in the midst of him. You yourself know. They said, you know him. He's in you, and you know him. And he said, grant that with all boldness we may speak his word by stretching forth your hand to heal. He who's in you will stretch forth his hand through you when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. He's in you to teach you, to give you instruction, to prepare you so that you bear fruit in the kingdom. And then he comes upon you so that all that you have in you, you are prepared to share with others. And it says, it doesn't say and. And we read that. Grant that with all boldness we may speak your word by stretching forth your hand. Speak your word, not and. Stretch forth your hand. It doesn't say speak and lay hands on the sick. It doesn't say speak and do signs and wonders. It says speak by. And one day, I caught that in the spirit. I'd been reading that over and over again. I'd asked several people, explain that verse to me. And they would explain it, and I thought, that's what everybody says. And there's nothing wrong with what they were saying, but it wasn't enough. It wasn't adequate. It wasn't the fullness of that scripture. And so, one day as I was thinking about it, it came to me that it doesn't say speak forth your word and stretch forth your hand. It doesn't say do both of those. It says speak forth the word by. And if you read Philip's ministry in Acts chapter 8, you will see that Philip, because he did signs and wonders, I'll just read you that verse. Because he did signs and wonders, the people came to listen. It was the signs and wonders, the healing of the sick, that caused people to come and hear the message. And that's what they were praying, that they would be bold to speak the word by stretching forth their hand to heal, that they would see signs and wonders, and they would come to listen. And that always happens. You follow the ministry of Catherine Kuhlman or Oral Roberts or any others, where people were being healed, people came to be healed, and they were listeners. Now, Philip went down to Samaria, preached Christ, and the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which he spake, hearing and seeing the miracles. They gave heed seeing the miracles. They gave heed because they saw the miracles. Do you see that? Well, that was revelation to me. Now, the Holy Ghost had stopped me on that verse many times, and I thought there's something there I should see, something there I should know, but I couldn't figure out what it was. But you don't have to figure it out because the Holy Ghost is in you to teach you and to bring revelation. Now, when Paul prayed in Ephesians chapter 1, he prayed that he has spirit of wisdom, revelation, knowledge of him, the eyes of their understanding being enlightened. He prayed for this group of people and probably for many groups of people that they'd have spirit of wisdom. Wisdom is what you do. It's an active word. It's not a mental word. It's what you know, what you're enlightened in, what's revealed to you that you now practice and do. And you can't do what you don't know. You see that? Yeah. And he's praying that they'll have knowledge, they'll be enlightened. In other words, the light of the scripture. Who turns the light on when you read it? The Holy Ghost. He dwells in you. He turns the light on. He stops you at places. He lets you hear and see and understand. So when I pray, I know I'm going to have knowledge. I'm going to be enlightened. When you have knowledge, the light comes on. And when the light comes on, then you know what to do. Now, there are people who have knowledge, corporate execs, we've used this example before, that know their business but can't actually work the warehouse. One boss, they hit him in the warehouse, and it was a conveyor belt where they were loading boxes, you know, and he kept getting behind, and they never stopped that conveyor belt's forbidden, but they had to stop it because he couldn't keep up. And this little man that was training him said, sir, you need to find another job. This job is not for you. And he's the head honcho. He had authority. He had knowledge. But he didn't have ability. Now, when we have knowledge by the Holy Ghost, we're going to have the ability to follow him. He's going to give us knowledge, revelation, and wisdom. And wisdom is what you do with the knowledge that you have. It's what you do. It's how you respond. And he had already prayed that they would have wisdom, that they would have light, and they would respond to the gospel. And then he said, I don't want you to faint. I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to be weak. I don't want you to get weary. When you're holding fast for healing, it's easy to get weary. I've talked to many people, and they just are tired, and they're in pain, and they're weary. And Paul said they could be weary because he had suffered so. He had been in prison, he had been beaten, he had been stoned, he had been let out over the wall in order to hide him from those trying to reach him to maybe kill him, as they'd already tried. He said, I don't want that to cause you to faint. I don't want that to cause you to quit. I don't want that to cause you. If you ever said, well, I can just give up. Right? You didn't say that. No. Thank God you didn't, because I've heard it said. I give up. I quit. Paul said, I do not want that. And what he's going to do, he's going to tell you, these three things you need to do. You need to understand the love of God and walk in the love of God. You need to know the Word. And you need to strengthen your spirit. Now look at Isaiah 40. You know, if you know what to do and you don't do it, you're not benefited. If I said, have you prayed in the spirit today? If you come really depressed, upset, uptight, strung out, and you say, well, no. Then your discouragement is your own fault. That's just the truth of it. Now in Isaiah 40, verse 27, I'll read you the King James and I'll tell you what other translations have said. Thou sayest, O Jacob, speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord and my judgment is passed over from my God. He's saying, God is not paying any attention to me. They felt ignored. Well, they were going to be in Babylon 70 years. And God already told them, you need to build houses, you need to plant crops, you need to give your children in marriage. Another, he's given them that hint, they're going to be there a long time. And they had this, and they said, God is not paying attention. The ISV, which you probably don't know, said, my way is being ignored by God. Well, when you ask me, how come this takes so long? You're saying God is not working as fast as he should in my case. That's what you're saying. And I said, God is not fair. The one thing you should never think, oh, that is not fair. God is not fair. I didn't do anything wrong. That's the one thing we should never think. Now, that's what they were saying. And when he comes down to verse 29, it says, he gives power. The God they said was not fair and was not doing right by them said, he gives power to the faint. He gives power to the faint. And that's what Paul was addressing in Ephesians, that the faint would have power, that they wouldn't be weakened, they wouldn't live in their weakness, that they would have power to the faint. And to them that have no might, he increases strength. God is a God of great strength. And when you come to him, he strengthens you with might by his spirit in the inner man. That's his promise and his commitment. He says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Now that tells us we're not talking about proper diet and exercise. Even young people. Well, if you got your job and you thought you'd be the boss, I mean, that happens. You're going to be on the rapid road of promotion and you're going to be an important person in that company. It doesn't happen right away. You get real faint, you get real discouraged, you get weary. See what God's saying to you, I don't care what's happening in your body or in your family. We're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. We're not going to faint. We're not going to be weary. We're going to depend on the strength of the Lord. And the way we get the strength of the Lord is first praying in other tongues. Praying and reading the Word and walking in love. Those three things are going to activate my spirit and hold me steady in difficult times. Now, so the youth will faint. That's encouraging, isn't it? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, Wayne and I are always together. Somebody asked us that. Well, 99% of the time, we're together people. But sometimes when I'm with him, I wait in the car and he goes in. You know, there's no use me holding his hand going into the post office. Mm-hmm. We have a post office box because we were overseas for so many years. He can go in by himself. And I'm not doing anything. I'm not believing anything, reading anything, singing anything. I'm just sitting there. I'm just waiting. Now, if that's what you think you're doing, God is not coming to your aid, because that's not what this says. This is not an idle moment where just sitting. The word wait means to have hope. The word hope is not a maybe so if so word. The word hope means to confidently expect. To confidently expect. And when you hope, you know that you know the promise of God is working for you, no matter what you see, how you feel. God's promise is working. It's working. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When you renew something, you're going back to something you had but you lost. You were one time really up to par, so to speak, but you let the circumstances get to you. Well, the circumstances get to us first in our mind. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to obedience of God. Casting down imaginations. Well, you get to thinking about it, this is never going to work. And the more you think about it, the more you faint, the more discouraged you get. And what we think about is the God of strength that I'll give you if you wait on me, if you have hope and confidence in me. See, many times we don't understand how to wait on the Lord, and I don't know if I can project that clearly to you, but when you wait on the Lord, you're not idle, but something is happening in the Spirit. Something is working in the inner man, and you can feel the strength of what's working. You know, if you had a bellyache, you'd feel that. Why would you think you'd feel a bellyache, but you won't feel God moving? You will. If the devil can be, bring a feeling, God even more so. Where the devil is for evil, God is for good. So I'm going to do some things to prevent me from being discouraged, from falling on my face and say, I can't stand this anymore. They that wait upon it shall renew their strength. Now, you had strength, but you relinquished it. And the way you relinquish your strength is by what you're thinking, by going over and over again. You know you have to work hard not to think what you shouldn't be thinking. Do you know how? Have you tried how hard that is not to think what you shouldn't be thinking? Not to think those things that contradict the Word of God? Not to think that God's not coming, He's not working for you? We won't cast those thoughts down. Because if we maintain those thoughts, what happens is every thought is a stone in a building. And once you get that building built or partway up, you've provided a hiding place for devil and he will take over. In the beginning, when sins are listed, witchcraft is not the devil. It's a sin of the flesh. It's of the flesh. It's what you are doing with your mind and your body. But when you keep yielding to witchcraft, then you're building a vessel where the devil can hide. And once you get that building up and your thoughts are solely surrendered to something that's wrong, the devil will come and then he takes possession or oppression or obsession, depending on the degree of what happens. Do you see that? Mm-hmm. See, we think witchcraft, the devil comes and I didn't resist him. Now I built him a house to live in. I said, can you prove that? Well, you just sit right there. You know I can. Though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. You can't, with your thoughts and your mind and your emotions, with your soul and your flesh, you can't win. If you could win, they'd ask you to be president. Because that's what we need. That's what we've needed. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, not of the flesh. You can't fight this with the flesh. But mighty through God to the pulling down stronghold. That word stronghold is the word a castle or fortress. God has given you a weapon that will pull down the fortress. That fortress was built by your mind and by your thoughts. You built the fortress in your mind. You didn't resist the thought. And you allowed discouragement to take over. Casting down imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You see that? Everybody gets that? Now, in Isaiah 40, it says, they shall mount up with wings as eagles. Eagles don't fly by flapping, flapping, flapping. They raise their wings and they catch a wind current and they fly up in that wind current. They allow the wind to carry them. And they're the only animal, one of a couple animals, that can face the sun. If you try to trap an eagle, if a prey is coming after an eagle, if he feels compromised, he will fly right towards, he will raise those wings, catch a wind current, and soar right into the sunshine, because he's the only bird that can successfully face the sun and live. Where are you supposed to be? Facing the sun, S-O-N. Get the current of the Spirit. Get what the teacher, the Holy Ghost who lives in you, get what the teacher is saying, what the teacher is doing. Now, when they are up high, and they're up very high, they can see the prey or the animal that they're chasing. They have marvelous vision. And see, by the Spirit, you have marvelous vision. He wouldn't have used an eagle for an example if they were barely making it. They have marvelous vision, and they've dropped from their place up near the sun at 80 miles an hour. Now, why do you think God used that example for we, who could wait upon the Lord, who could soar into the sun, S-O-N, who could catch the wind of the Spirit, and can see what's against us, and stand against it successfully, without fainting, being discouraged? Y'all are here, right?
Yes.
They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Well, our son's a photographer, and he has to do great walks and some of the things that he does. And we used to go with him. But he knows if his mama goes, we're not walking 5 miles. You understand that? And so he knows if I'm going, he's going to have to cut his route just a tad shorter than that, because that's too far for me. Now, he said... And I am, after all, quite a bit older than he is. Okay, I'm blaming it on my age. I don't know if that's fair or not. So they'll walk and not faint. They'll run and not be weary. Would I have liked that? To run with him? To walk with him? And not say, I'm going to sit on this bench. I'll be right here when you circle back around. I will be sitting right here. But when I have the strength of the Lord, when he's in me, when I've allowed him to dominate me, when I've waited on him, not just building myself by praying in the Spirit, but waiting in his presence. And last year, there was a couple times I was just reading the Word and sitting, and the Holy Ghost came so strong upon me, I couldn't even move. One man put it this way. I love the way he said he had 3 nights of the Spirit pinning him down where he couldn't move at all. See, we've cut God short. It doesn't depend upon you. It depends upon your dependence upon him. And he said 3 nights, and he said it was glorious, and it was very painful. And I have been there. I understand that. The Spirit that comes upon you in that strength, and you sense the supernatural element and God at move, it is glorious. But when you can't move for hours and hours and you're pinned down, it's also painful. I knew exactly what this man said. So what we're going to do, we're going to spend time in the presence of the Lord. And spending time is going to give us the strength to accomplish what we need to accomplish. Now, we're also going to be readers of the Word. Now, look at Romans 10, and let me show you something that you probably haven't seen. Would you bring me a marker, Kambi-san? We quote this verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word. It does not say faith comes by hearing the Word. It doesn't say. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word. Now look, thank you, dear. This is how that goes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes... Where does hearing come from? Hearing comes by the
Word.
What is first?
Word.
The Word. And as I'm reading the word, hearing is that element of understanding. That element of enlightenment, that realm of revelation, as I'm reading the Word, then I begin to hear what the Word is actually saying. And when I hear what the Word is actually saying, then I can activate my faith. And we've practiced that verse, and we've just gone, faith comes by hearing, and hearing brings faith. And that's not what that verse says. It says, faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word. Hearing comes through the Word. Hearing, revelation, understanding comes through the Word of the living God. And when I have understanding, I actually have heard suddenly what God has said, then I can put my faith into practice. Now that's exactly what the verses above that say. You'll see this. Verse 14, how shall they call upon whom have they not believed? Okay, believing is faith. And how shall they believe in him whom they not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? The first thing that happens is the preacher comes and the Word comes. That verse reads from bottom left to right. How shall they call on him? They can't respond until they've believed or have faith. And they can't have faith if they've not heard. And they can't hear if somebody's not preached. Do you see that? That's what that verse says. They can't believe, respond by faith, if they've not heard. And they can't hear if the Word has not been spoken. So when I read and speak the Word, then I get hearing and understanding and revelation, and then I can plant my faith. We've short-changed that verse just a tad. Now, if we read 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you know, it's nothing like understanding and knowing how to do something, isn't it? It's amazing. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we've received mercy, we faint not. Do you know how many references there are about not fainting, not giving up, not quitting, not being discouraged? There's a lot in the Scripture. There's more than I thought were there. Paul said, I'm not going to faint. No, he's not going to quit and give up the ministry just because times are hard, just because he's in prison, just because they beat him. Do you know what it would feel like if they beat you 39 stripes? And these are not being gentle. He said, I will never faint. I'm responsible for the gospel. I'm responsible to fulfill my commission. Now, if you go down, verse 8 says, we are troubled on every side. It wasn't that he didn't have trouble. The word trouble has to do with being in a crowd. It's an unusual word. It doesn't mean the agony of something. It means being crowded out. And so he's crowded out by his circumstances, by the people that rejected him, by those that wanted to imprison him, by the Pharisees always on his case. He said, I have trouble, yet I'm not distressed. The word distress means I'm not hemmed in too closely. Because he that waits upon the Lord, he has the strength to stand. He's not going to give up. He's not going to faint. See, when your doctor says your test is worst, you may not have been there, but many have. Or when your insurance says we're not paying, your thoughts can get real dominant and you get discouraged. Paul said, they've chased me, they've beaten me, they've imprisoned me, I've been in the sea a night and a day, surrounded by problems. So I'm not distressed. And here's what we do. Oh, what will we ever do, Wayne? What will we ever do? How much money do we have to pay that? Thank God, so God sends money. It says, we're perplexed. That means I'm totally, Paul says, I can be totally confused. I don't have a clue what to do. I do not know what to do. He's not let the circumstances keep him from walking by faith. And he's going to strengthen himself. Surely he's going to do himself what he told them to do. He said, you need to be strong in spirit. You need to strengthen your spirit. Wait in the presence of the Lord. Wait till the Spirit of the Lord fills your heart. Wait till you have understanding of the Scripture. And pray in other tongues because it builds up your spirit. Now, when Jude wrote that, he mentioned all three things that Paul mentioned. He said, building yourself up on your most holy, faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God. Those are the three elements that Paul mentioned. Walking in love, being strong in spirit, and knowing and practicing the word. And he said, that's what you need so you don't faint. So you don't quit, so you don't give up. Then he says, I'm persecuted but not forsaken. When you're forsaken, you're just deserted. I know you felt, y'all are so perfect. I don't know if you've ever felt this, but every now and then you just feel like nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my heartache. Do you know that song? This is cast down, not destroyed, and translators say knocked down, but not knocked out. So in a minute, since you knocked me down, but I'm waiting on the strength of the Lord, I'm going to get right back up.
Amen.
See, we have the weapons of our warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God. I've got to control my mind. Now look at, back to, not Isaiah 40, but Isaiah 41. This is not to discourage anybody. This is to encourage you. There is an answer. You got to take time to sit in the presence of the Lord. So we did that on purpose. When we remodeled our house, we put in glass doors. First of all, I don't like open concept. That has nothing to do with you. You like it. You open everything you want to open. I like doors. And so we put in glass doors because I also like to know what's happening behind the glass door. And if it's a wooden door, I don't know what you're doing out there. So Wayne is doing one thing and I'm doing another. We're sitting in two different rooms, but I'm sitting here in my chair and I can look through the glass door and see what he's doing. We live together separately. That's how that works. Now, I need to be where I can hear from God. And I don't need him to interrupt me. And he knows that. He would never do that. He said in verse 10, fear thou not, I'm with you. As long as Wayne Cumby's there. Wayne was military when we got married. And he had some night duty. I'm just 19 years old. And night duty, I had never been by myself at night in my entire life. It's just something that never happened. And so I was not thrilled. I'm by myself. I don't know anybody. I slept with all the lights on. I'm afraid. And the military, the army, they didn't care. They just didn't care that I was by myself. Well, then you're distressed. You're disturbed. You're beginning to faint. You're beginning to fall out. Now, here's what I would have done had I known the neighbors. We met them later. Wonderful people. We're still in touch with them after all these years. We just got a note from them the other day. They had a little uh-oh in their family. We love them. Had I known them at that juncture, I'd have been right over there and saying, can I sleep on your sofa? Wayne's on night duty. That's exactly what I would. But I didn't know them at the time. But the way I survived, because God was there. They that wait upon the Lord. Mm-hmm. They that wait upon the Lord are strengthened with might. They that wait upon the Lord don't faint, fall out, be weary. Yield not to temptation, for yielding is sin. Each victory will help you some other to win. Fight manfully on. We don't fight manfully onward. We just yield to our thoughts. Don't we, or do we not? Huh? Don't be afraid. God is there. I thought Wayne was more important. Be not dismayed, bewildered. I am God. As long as you know God and you know the word of God and you have the promise of God, we're going to survive and be strong because we have his promise, his presence, and his power. And that's how Paul was praying for them, and that's what Jude repeated. The promise of God, which gives you faith, the power of God, which gives you the Holy Spirit to strengthen you, and the love of God to guide you so you don't do anything dumb. Right? You ever done anything dumb? Okay. I will strengthen thee. That's the promise of God. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to make you strong in this dilemma, this thing that confuses you, this thing that bewilders you. I'm going to give you strength, and I'm going to be right there with you. He said in Hebrews, I will never leave you or forsake you. Never is a long time. And then he says, I'll help you, and I'll uphold you. I'll help you. I'll help you. I'll help you. Now, my brother doesn't live in Florida, and when he needs help, he usually texts. And if I don't respond right away, he'll call on the phone. They've had some trauma. He's facing surgery Thursday or Friday, isn't it? And we've already prayed over that and talked about that. And as dependable as I am because he's my brother, I can never do what God can do. It is no secret what God can do, what he's done for others, he'll do for you. I can never keep you from being confused and bewildered if you choose to let your mind drift. I can't prevent that. But you have the strength and power of the Holy Ghost and the promises of the Word of God. And a God said, I will never leave you. You have nothing to fear. I will never leave you. You have nothing to fear. I will help you. Is that marvelous? In your dilemma, if it's physical, if it's mental, if it's financial, if it's family. Y'all probably have perfect families, right? We're just a little bit shy of perfect in our family. What are you going to do? You're going to wait on the Lord. You're going to sit there and read the Bible and say, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. When he comes, you won't have to wonder if he came or not. I can guarantee you that. And you're going to read and you're going to pray. And you're going to let love guide your footsteps. And you're going to walk side by side with the great King of Glory, who's going to give you the strength to continue until you see victory. And that's the song we began with, victory. There's victory in walking with God, no matter what your circumstances are.